Tonight we're doing things just a little bit differently. The lesson is on prayer, and we're going to be incorporating prayer in the lesson as we go. There are 8 words in the New Testament translated pray. And tonight I want to talk about 5 of those. And I'm going to talk about each of these 5, and after I talk about each of them, then one of the men of the congregation are going to come forward and lead a prayer as we've been talking about in that part of the lesson. The first type of prayer I want to talk about is formal prayer. Now, this is opposed to the informal prayer that we may have. I think about that, such as when we're driving down the road in the car, and being very careful about that, of course. We don't want to have a wreck, but we may be driving in a car. We may be out mowing the grass or doing something in the yard or cleaning the house or doing something else where our attention can be divided. And we may be praying as we do that. And I look at that as being an informal prayer. Our minds are not 100% on it. We're doing other things. And it may be at school. And you may be taking a test. And you pause just for a couple of seconds and say a prayer or work for a couple of seconds. That's not really a formal prayer when you are totally removing the distractions of the world from your mind, and you're maybe in a quiet place and you can totally concentrate on that. I want to look at some Bible scriptures that use this word. And as we look at these scriptures tonight, all except 2 of them, I'm just simply going to put them on the PowerPoint. Because there's so many scriptures to cover, we can't turn our Bibles that fast to look at them all. Here we have Jesus praying in the garden. And the Bible says, "And when he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. This is a very intense prayer. Jesus has gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's gone there with the apostles, and he's gone just a little bit beyond them. And here he is in very intense prayer to God. You'll remember that it's described the intensity and the anguish that was here. And that there was sweat coming from his brow like drops of blood. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says this. I believe it's referring back to the garden. "In the days of his flesh he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." And this is the type of prayer that we are talking about. It is that prayer that is very intense. It is that prayer that is very formal. We're addressing God and we're concentrating wholly upon that. It's the type of prayer that we have when we assemble together as Christians, as we are now. And we remove the distractions of this life from our mind, and we concentrate on that. That's all that we're doing for this moment, is praying to God. Here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus is speaking to the apostles. And here the apostles were also praying. Jesus says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And here Jesus is encouraging the apostles to be praying and to be devoting themselves at this time to prayer. They weren't thinking about other things. They weren't worrying about what they were going to be doing later in the day. They weren't thinking about what they were going to be eating later or what else was going to be going on. They were concentrating completely in their prayers. Here, as Joe already read, "Pray without ceasing." Now, I want you to notice the type of prayer that's being talked about here. It's not the type of prayer where, again, you may be in your car, you may be at school, you may be at work, and you have just a couple of seconds. It's talking about this very intense prayer. It's talking about this time when we set apart some time just for prayer. And the command is to pray without ceasing, to be prayerful all of the time. Therefore, I want the men in every place, Paul says, to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. This is what God has commanded for us to do. Pray all of the time, that is the frequency. And to do so with holy hands, that is to do so as you are holy and righteous before God. That we must be forgiven of our sins and come to God sinless. This is how we approach God as we go to Him in prayer. When we are sick, this is the prayer that we are to offer up. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is the prayer we offer up when we're suffering. Now I want you to notice this. When those times of difficulties, of suffering come about, we need to stop what we are doing and pray about it. Indeed, it's good to pray in these other types of prayers, driving the car, working in the yard, doing all of this. That's good, but we need to stop sometime during the day and we need to pray about it. And we need to call the elders so the elders can come and they can pray with us. That's this very formal prayer addressed to God on our behalf because of our sickness, our illness, possibly as a result of the sin that's in our life. And brethren, we need to do that. This is how we're taught to deal with this, and we need to do it. Now, let me suggest to you, Jay, you might as well start coming up this way. Jay's going to lead us in prayer in just one moment. As some are mentioned here in our announcements, as we pray for them, this is what we're doing. We're praying for those who are sick in this type of prayer. For those who are suffering, we're doing that. And now I've asked Jay, if he would, to lead us in prayer as we remove the thoughts of this world from our mind and the distractions of this world, and we totally focus upon speaking to our Father in heaven.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Thou who art Creator and Giver of all good and perfect gifts, that we might come before Thee humble this hour, sober-minded, that we might honor Thee as the true and living God, that we might realize our insignificance before Thee, as Thou hast created heaven and earth and established the world and the planets and the things before us, that we might be humble before Thee this hour. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to examine ourselves and that we realize our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And we ask Thee, as we seek to look unto our hearts and realize we fall short and we need Thy Word and Thy truth to guide us and to help us through each day, that we might draw nigh unto Thee through Thy Word, that we might ask Thee for forgiveness of our sins as we realize we at times fall short and we neglect Thy commandments and Thy ordinances, and that we forsake those around about us and we forsake our souls at times, that we neglect those things that are Thy truth, but that we might petition Thee this hour and ask Thee for forgiveness, and that You might help us to make change, and that we might draw nigh unto Thee and seek to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that we might thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace, for Thy loving kindness, for the example of those of the past, for those we have studied, for their lives, for their struggles, for the things that came before them, and for Your judgment and Your righteous judgment and Your discipline and Your correction through Thy Word and through the prophets who brought forth the Word unto them. We pray unto Thee now, thanking Thee for that which Thou hast established, that which was established of old, and those things that have come into being, that Thou hast established the church, and that Thou has purchased the church with thy son, his sacrifice, and that you've made that way for man, that man might be reconciled back unto thee, that through thy mercy and thy grace, that men of all nations have that hope, that they may come to know thee through the truth of thy word and through the sacrifice of thy son. We pray that for that which thou hast established, as thou hast established all nations, and thou hast set them for a time upon the earth, and thou hast set a time for each man upon the earth. Yet we know not what tomorrow may bring, but yet that if we will look unto thy word, that we may have that hope, if we will meditate and seek to be mindful of thy will, that we might seek to obtain a home in heaven with thee through faithfulness. And pray that we realize the temptations come before us, that we might look unto the examples of thy word. Pray that you'll continue to bless the church here in this place, and pray that the gospel may go forth. Pray that you'll bless this nation and those who rule over it, that they may realize their need to look unto thee, and that the family unit that thou hast established, that it has an order, as the church has an order with those that are to be in those who are to lead and have their positions and the importance of those things. And then we pray that the family unit may continue, as there are struggles in this nation with these things and in other parts of the world. We pray this, our Heavenly Father, that as the gospel goes forth, that it will do thy will. Pray that the gospel, as it goes forth from this place or in other places of the world, that it will do thy bidding, and it will not return to thee void. But we pray that you'll hear our petitions and discipline us through thy truth, and help us that we might serve thee from the heart. Let us pray not our will, but that thy will be done. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jay. As we think about praying together, and we'll be praying quite a bit together tonight, we almost concentrate on the prayers. And how you concentrate on that, that is up to you. You need to find a good way to do that for yourself. For myself, I don't close my eyes. It's all right to close your eyes if you want to. If I close my eyes, I start dreaming about stuff. And besides that, my contacts get all messed up. So I don't close my eyes. But if you do or if you don't, that's up to you. I look at the floor. And the other thing I do is I try to understand the things that are said in the prayer. And I think about them and meditate upon them. And sometimes I nod my head. And many times I don't know how many times I said amen during that prayer silently to myself. That keeps me engaged. And so whatever you need to do for yourself to keep yourself thinking about those things, please be doing that as we offer up these prayers tonight. In just a moment, Jerry Flatt's going to lead us in another prayer. Jerry, just to let you know, I just have three scriptures, so it's going to come quick. And the reason for that is there's not a lot of scriptures dealing with this next area of prayer I want to talk about, and that is asking, entreating, begging, and beseeching. And you'll find out that some of these cross over, and it's sort of hard to distinguish between them, but I'll do my best to try to bring out sometimes the very subtle differences between them. Here we have John chapter 17, verse 9, 15, and 20. Here Jesus says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now notice, this is Jesus praying to God. And in the old King James, it may be translated, pray. This Greek word, Areto, is not translated pray in the New American Standard, but it is 14 times in the King James. And here it denotes to make a request. Sometimes it's used in our Bibles, one person making a request to another, and sometimes in prayer making a request to God. In verse 15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. And then in verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And so we see that we are to ask, and we're to ask of God of these things. Now then in John chapter 16 and verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Here I want us to note that when we ask God, when we're opening our hearts up to God and asking him regarding the things which we desire, that we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean, the name of Jesus Christ? Does that mean that we need to say in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers? Well, you know, we don't have a lot of examples in the New Testament of prayer, but they don't say in Jesus' name at the end. Was it said and not recorded? Well, perhaps it was. But what it means is, as we go to God, we are going by the authority of Jesus Christ. How is it that you and I, as simple, everyday, sinful, but forgiven people, how is it we can approach the throne of God? It is because of Jesus Christ and his blessings, and that which he has authorized for us to do as his disciples by the will of God to approach Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes during the prayer we will remind ourselves of those things, that it's in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will state this perhaps early in the prayer or later in the prayer or at the very end, that it is in Jesus' name that we are offering up this prayer. One more scripture before we go to God in prayer, and that's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. John says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. And so there are some things we should pray about, and there are some things that we shouldn't pray about. If someone has sinned and made a mistake, and according to the will of God they've done those things which they ought to do, then we need to pray about that. But if someone has sinned, making a mistake, and they have not done what God would have them to do to be forgiven, we're not to pray about that. We're not to ask God to forgive them. We're not to make requests of that. And so these are the things which we would ask of God, request of God, that we would beg, beseech God of in prayer. And we'd like now for Jerry Flatt to come forward and to lead us in one of these prayers.
Our loving Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you. So thankful for this opportunity that we have to be here tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. And as we study about prayer, that great blessing that you have provided for us, that we're able to communicate to you, to express our hearts in thanksgiving and to make known the things that we need, even though you already know every thought and everything about our lives. We know that these scriptures teach us that we're to ask you, and that if we ask through faith, that you will answer our prayers. And Father, we ask you to continue to bless us with the physical things in this life that we need. And though we think of these things so often, more importantly, we ask for the spiritual blessings to continue through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful for this congregation of your people that meets here, for the ability that we have to come together, the provision that you have made for every member of this congregation, that we might be strengthened, that we might be encouraged, that our faith might be increased. We ask you, Father, to help us to have the proper respect and reverence and love for your word and for you. We pray that you provide us with that we need to be determined and committed to these things. We pray, Father, for those that are here tonight that are not Christians, that are alien sinners, that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and who are lost in their sins. And we pray that the things that are said this evening, even as it's about the subject of prayer, through maybe a study on their own of scriptures, that they have come to a knowledge of what you would have them to do to become a Christian. We pray that they would have that determination and commitment tonight, that they would be pricked in their hearts to be changed, to have a strong desire to leave sin, to become a Christian, and to have their sins forgiven. Father, we pray for those of us that have done that, that we've obeyed the gospel. But as we live this life, we realize that we are weak, and sometimes we do things that we should not do, and we certainly leave undone things that we should do as Christians. As we repent of those things, Father, forgive us. Help us to turn from those things. Help us to be stronger. Help us to strive not to commit the same sins again. We're so thankful, Father, that we can ask you through faith for the things that we need and that you answer our prayers. We pray, Father, that every one of us will let our life be a sacrifice unto you, to serve you, which is our purpose in life. And we thank you for the opportunity to be called thy children. And we know that you answer our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. I'll tell you, I'm loving this service. I don't know about you, but just to be able to pray this much together, I'm just totally loving this, you know. It's great. We need to do it more often. I want to talk about our third type of prayer tonight. It's where we communicate our desires and our wants. It could be a lot about asking and begging and entreating, but just a little bit different, and I want us to look at a few examples. First, I want us to look at a couple of secular examples. Here we see Paul, as he is before King Agrippa, and he is asking King Agrippa to listen. He says, "Especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews, therefore I beg you to listen to me patiently." This is what Paul desired. This is what Paul wanted. And so he's requesting King Agrippa to do this. Here now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul is asking or begging. This is what he wants. He wants people to be reconciled to God. He wants them to live the right way and be saved from their sins. And so he is asking people to do that. That's what he wants. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now let's look at another example. Here is Simon. Here we turn to prayer. Remember, Simon had made a big mistake, that he saw that the gift of miracles was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. So he wanted to buy this power from the apostles, so that he could go off and lay hands on people and they would get this power. Of course, we're not told why he wanted this, but if he was offering to pay them money, perhaps he was thinking he might could go out and make even more money trying to sell that. Well, Peter rebuked him for that and commanded him to repent, that perhaps God will forgive him. But Simon answered here in Acts 8:24 and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Here Simon is asking Peter to pray for him. He desired that. He wanted that. And so he's asking Peter to do that. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, here we see a time when the apostles had been persecuted. They had been commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And so after they had been threatened, the apostles assemble with the disciples. In Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken." Now I want you to turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 4, and I want us to look at this prayer for just a moment, because this is one of these types of prayers that we're talking about. So in Acts chapter 4, and we are going to begin in verse 23. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, now this is the prayer. Now remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says that they prayed. This is a prayer that where they're lifting up to God their wants and their desires. What do they want? They wanted boldness and confidence to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God said, go preach. The Jews said, don't preach. They threatened them later on, threw them into prison. And so here they're wanting confidence, they're wanting boldness to do this. This was their desire for this. And they lifted up this prayer to God. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, or your Bible may say boldness. This was their desire. This was their want. And brethren, we all have wants and we have desires. Wants and desires of just all the things that surround us. It may be for the salvation of some. It may be for the sustenance of some. It may be for spiritual growth of some. It may be for boldness and confidence as we go out in the world. It's just limitless. But we're to go to God in these prayers and express these wants and these desires. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, here Jesus commands the disciples to be praying, to be alert, to be ready for the coming of Christ. And I want you to notice that we are to offer up our wants and our desires to God. God wants us to do that. He wants to know, He wants us to tell Him what is on our minds. Indeed, He already knows it. And He already understands it. But it's profitable for us to pour out our hearts to God with those things that are bothering us, with those things that we desire. Jesus says this, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength. That's what God wants us to do. Those wants, those desires, He wants us to be offering them up so that we're always communicating these things to Him, so that there is no stumbling block, so that there is no lacking in our life. God wants us to lift these things up to Him so that we're strengthened even to the coming of Christ. One more scripture, and Dennis Trask is going to lead us in prayer, expressing our wants and desires to God. And this is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. Here the Apostle Paul says, always in my prayers making requests, if perhaps now at least by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach. This was his desire. This was his heartfelt desire as he poured it out to God. I want to go to Rome and preach, if it be your will. And he poured this out to God. And so we too, whatever our wants and our desires are, by the will of God, we're to pour them out to God. Let Him handle them. Let Him have them. Let Him deal with them as we offer them up to Him. And now Brother Dennis is going to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray.
Our dear God and our Father, we humbly bow before you, beseeching you as our Father. Father, we desire above all things, we desire salvation. Father, we realize that salvation is something that we can choose. We realize that you have chosen salvation for us, but we realize that we must choose to be saved. And Father, we pray that you'll give us the wisdom and the knowledge from thy word, that you'll direct our minds towards those things that we need to know and to do in order to be saved. Father, we realize that some of the things that we need to do, we have done. We realize that these things are basics. But we realize as we studied this morning that there are other things that are difficult. Things that we need to choose to do and choose to continually do throughout our lives. Choose to be considerate of others. Choose to be hospitable. Choose to be loving. And choose to desire salvation for others as well as ourselves. And Father, we earnestly pray that you'll give us strength and wisdom that we might make this choice and that we might do what our choice causes us or calls for us to do. Father, we realize that we have brethren throughout this world that have, like we have chosen salvation. And Father, we realize that they sometimes don't have the things that we do. That they don't have even some of the basics of life. That they need food and clothing. And they need shelter. And Father, we know that their prayers go up to you. We know that they beseech you that you provide these things for them. Father, we do have food and clothing and shelter. And we do have money. We do have sustenance. We do have things that you've given us. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to have wisdom towards these things. We pray that you'll help us to be good stewards. And Father, we realize that sometimes and often we are expected by you to be your answer to their prayers. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to see that. We pray that you'll help us to have wisdom in seeing that. Help us to give. Help us to love. Help us to have mercy on these brethren. Help us to be whatever we can be to them, that they might achieve their hope of heaven, that they might achieve the salvation that they so earnestly desire. And Father, help us to use their example. Help us to follow their example in desiring salvation. They have so little, but they do have the hope of salvation. Help us to consider what we have as being nothing compared to the hope of salvation. Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes. Help us to see the opportunities that are right here among us. Help us to understand that we are not perfect beings, that we need to strive for perfection. Help us to realize that we need to help others around us to strive for perfection. As we've been studying, we realize that happiness is a choice. And Father, help us to realize that heaven is a choice. And that we make choices here on this earth that will make it possible that we go to heaven. Father, help us to have the wisdom to make those choices, to make the right choice. Father, also help us to heed thy warnings that we also can choose not to go to heaven, that we can choose to rebel against thee and thy will, and that we will find unhappiness in this. We pray that you'll help us to encourage one another to make the right choices, to make the choice of heaven, to make the choice of being children of thine, and to seek constantly to please thee. Father, we face many temptations. We pray that you'll give us the strength to face these temptations in such a way that we'll make the right choices, that we won't sin, that we'll be a good example to those around about us, that they'll look to our example and say, they chose the right way. They chose not to sin. They chose what was good, and they chose what was right. We pray that you help us always to be good and to be right. Father, we pray for this church. We pray that you'll be with each of us as we dwell together. We pray that we'll uphold your name, the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in such a way that we'll always have the hope that we spoke of, a hope of heaven, hope of that reward. We pray that you'll help us to count the things of this earth as being nothing compared to that, and to always live our lives accordingly. Father, we pray for we pray for us as we seek to spread thy word in this community. We pray for Alan as he stands before us and speaks to us. We pray that you'll help him to speak forth boldly thy word and to say those things that need to be said, that we might, if we need to be brought to repentance, that we might repent, that we might find strength in thee and thy Son Jesus Christ. We might find strength in the hope of heaven. Father, we pray that you'll always be with us. We pray that we'll stand with thee and stand with thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we will achieve that home in heaven when this life is over. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. Fourth type of prayer I would like to talk about tonight is asking God to supply our wants and needs. Now, this is very similar to the one we had just before, our wants and our desires, but perhaps this points a little bit more towards our needs. Let's look at a few examples together. Here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, again speaking of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications. Jesus wanted God to save him from the cross, if possible, if that be the Lord's will. And Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 10, here he is offering up his heartfelt desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God, for them is their salvation. And I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, that this is commanded to be, at least in part, the cure for anxiety, being overcome with worldly care, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, by expressing to God those things which we want and we need. That here we can hand these things over to God and we can give them to God and let God deal with them. We are to make these requests known to God, to lay these things upon Him. And this will take the anxiety away from our life as we do that. Notice also in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, by doing this, that we remain alert. We do not fall into the traps, the pitfalls Satan has set before us. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. As we are expressing to God our needs, heartfelt needs, as we are offering these up to God, that we do not fall into the traps of Satan, that we are not overcome with worldliness or the things that are of the world, but we're staying focused upon the things of God, that we're remaining spiritual in the things that we do in our view of life, alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And brethren, it's good for us to pray for other people. I'm so glad we've done that tonight. That it helps us to remain alert as we pray for other Christians in other places and the different circumstances they may find themselves to be in. Not only do we need to worry about ourselves and we need to think of ourselves and be concerned about ourselves and be praying about ourselves, but also for other brethren in other places. Some of them have life much more difficult, as we've already prayed tonight. Some of them have to struggle so much just for food and to feed their children, and they do not have the medical resources that we have here. They may be available, but many of our brethren cannot afford to provide these things for themselves, and their life expectancy is much shorter than ours, and they can be overcome with this anxiety for themselves and their family, their wives, husbands, and children. And we need to be praying. If we can, we help and we relieve, but there will be some that we cannot help, and some of those who have very hard life as a result of that, that we pray for them that they are not overcome by these things. And just before Dan leads us in prayer, one more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice, for God to hear these prayers of our needs and of our wants, that we must be in a right relationship with Him. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend their prayer. As we express our needs to God and those things which we desire so much, that we must first be in a right relationship with God. And then if we are, He looks down upon us and He is hearing our prayers, and we have the confidence that He is answering those. Let's ask Dan now to lead us in prayer as we go to God regarding these things.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening for all the many blessings that we have on this earth. We're so very thankful that You do not allow us to go without. We're very thankful that we live in a country that allows us and the other citizens to also not go without. We are very aware, Lord, of the many other places in this world who people go and they suffer. And we're thankful for and very mindful of them, but we're very thankful that we do not have to go through that on a daily basis. Lord, at this time, though, we are very mindful and need You to be with us daily so that we might be able to be the example that You need us to be, so that we might be able to go out into the world and show other people You and us, and might be able to bring others to Christ. Lord, we need You as we go throughout our daily lives, as we go to our jobs, as we go to school, as we go home to our families, and as we go out and about. And we pray, Lord, that in everything that we do, that others might see You in us. Lord, more than anything in this world, we need to be faithful to You. We pray that if there is a time that we are not, that someone might be able to show us the way, so that we might be able to make correction, so that one day, Lord, we might be able to spend eternity with You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more type of prayer and just a few scriptures, and Gary Steen's going to lead us in prayer, and this is intercessory prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. God wants us to pray for other people. And as a matter of fact, let's get out our Bibles, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice the list of individuals here is very broad and all-encompassing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants us to do. That He wants us to make petition. He wants us to pray for other people. And He wants us to pray for all people in a very broad way. For those who are ruling, for those who have control so much over our lives and lives of people throughout the world. Some of these leaders refuse to allow the Word of God free course. Some of them refuse to allow their people to have choice of worshiping in the way God would have us to do. Some of these leaders make it illegal to assemble and do the things we are doing here today. And God wants us to pray for them and to pray for those who are living under such rule. He wants us to pray for kings and for authorities and to make entreaties for all men. And He wants us to do this that we will have a tranquil and a quiet life. And you know, we are so blessed here in this country. Sometimes I think it's going to be the downfall of our country because we are so blessed and things are just handed to us and things are just so very easy for us. But all of that could change in just a moment of time. And there are people throughout the world who do not enjoy tranquility. I remember seeing on TV when Saddam Hussein and his regime were beginning to fall. I remember seeing, and I've told you this story before, about those who were taken out and they were whipped in public. We don't have to deal with those things, at least not from our governments. And so we must be praying for ourselves and for others that we and also others have a tranquil and a quiet and a godly life. And be praying that all are saved as they come to a knowledge of God and His Word. And we've prayed about that some tonight, and we need to continue to do that. We need to pray for those who do not know God. We need to pray for those who do not have access to the Word of God. We need to pray for those who have access to it but ignore it and don't pay attention to it and don't study it and are not diligent to understand what it is talking about and those things commanded by God. We need to pray for them. And we need to pray for all of us also. Knowledge there is epigenosis. We need to pray that we all come to a knowledge, top knowledge, that results in maturity and spiritual strength. We need to be praying for each person here, that we all come to a better knowledge of God's Word. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here speaking of the food that we eat, there are some who would have doctrines of men, religious doctrines of men, not to get married, not to eat certain types of food. And Paul says of this food, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. Do you think about praying for your food as being an intercessory prayer? That you're praying for the food. And you know, this is very difficult to understand. I'm not telling you that it's easy. And many struggle with the understanding that here is talking about intercessory prayer, and he's talking about intercessory prayer for the food that we eat. Well, then what's it talking about that we should be praying about? We're to be praying for the food and what it does for our bodies and the plants that grow in the fields and the animals that roam the fields and the pastures that we depend on for our food. You know, the world's food source is very volatile. Just recently we had quite a difficulty with pet food, didn't we? And just think about it. Something got into our very own food source. Other countries don't have all the laws that we have, but in our whole food source, the chain of food, it could all be harmed. And before we know it would be just very difficult to find much of anything to eat. And so we need to be praying for this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be received. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer." And so we are to keep in our prayers others upon the earth, whether they be in power or whether they be kings or presidents or whoever it may be. We're to be mindful of all those who are lost. We're to be praying for those. And praying for those who are Christians, that they become stronger through the Word of God. And just as Jesus taught us, before He ate, fed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and before partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, as He instituted the Lord's Supper, we too are to pray for our food. Think about that. Do you pray for your food? Are you thankful for your food? Are you praying that it does that which God has intended for it to do? We're going to ask Gary Steen to come forward now and lead us in prayer in these regards.
Dear God, we're thankful that we can continue to pray to You at this time. And we recognize that the whole purpose for mankind to exist at all times throughout history has been to seek You. To come to find You, to come to realize who You are. And as the Scriptures state, You're not far from any of us. And help us to realize that. Help us to guide our lives in a way of trying to achieve that, knowing who You are. And we pray for all mankind everywhere that they can come to a knowledge of the truth. We pray for those that are trying to help them in foreign countries, to understand that their salvation is their purpose for being here, and are trying to teach them truth. We're thankful for congregations across this country, elders of these congregations that are recognizing their responsibility to watch for souls, for that grand purpose of getting people to heaven. We pray that men everywhere will come to realize why they are living. That the leaders of our country will make decisions, will understand why they lead. That their decisions will not be political, that they will look to you for what you want. That they will understand also the purpose for all mankind's existence, to serve you, to come to know you. Help each of us here to realize that on a day-to-day basis, that our reason for going about doing whatever we do each day is to somehow be able to touch others, to get them to understand how important their brief life is and how eternal salvation is. We pray for mankind everywhere. We pray for all of us to understand these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gary, and all the men who have led us in prayer tonight. I hope this has been helpful for all of us to think about. Oh, a common term I don't mind using in our prayer life. And our relationship with God as we do pray to Him. Let's think about that, and let's think about our day-to-day schedules. Certainly we all could improve in that part of our life that we call prayer. Let's remember that we need some time when we just pray. We're not busy doing other things. We're not distracted by other things. We're not worrying about other things. We're not busy going here, there, whatever, but we need just some time to pray. That as we pray, we ask God and we entreat and we beg and we beseech those things which we desire of Him. That we communicate these desires and these wants and these needs and don't hold them back from God. Now sometimes people will say, you know, God doesn't need to hear this petty stuff like this. Yes, it's true, God doesn't need to, but God wants to hear it. So all of those things that are on your mind and those things that you're concentrating on and those things which you're busy with in your life, be talking to God about these things. And also don't forget to intercede for others who are here on the earth. For all of mankind, for kings and presidents and rulers and those under their rule. And always remember to pray for your food as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I hope this time has been beneficial. I know it has been for me as we have spent this time praying together. If we had just prayed, it would have been beneficial to me, but perhaps also some of these comments have also helped. We're going to offer the gospel invitation now. If you'd like to turn over to 310, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? God's eyes are toward the righteous. He attends their prayers. And so, for God to be attending these prayers, to be hearing and to be addressing and be doing these things in our life, we need to be righteous. We need to be in a right relationship with God. And then as we pour these things out to Him, He attends. We can trust Him to do that and lay these things upon Him at His throne. If you're not a Christian tonight, you do not have that benefit in your life. Or if you are a Christian and you've strayed away from the truth, you do not have that benefit in your life, but you can have that benefit tonight as you correct your life with God, as you either become a Christian or you turn back to the truth as a Christian. We want everyone to leave here tonight with the benefit to pray to God, knowing that He hears and He attends your prayer. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want to help you become one. If you're an erring brother or sister in Christ, we want to help you get back on the right path tonight. If we can help you in any way, I want you to come to the front now as we stand and sing.